It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. Mark, the last time we had you on the CAT Scan podcast was right at the beginning of the season. Now, after 19 games, the team is 10-9. If we look back, and I would have said at that point, you're going to have this record and play as well as you have, would you have said, yes, that's fine, I'll take it? Or would you have said, no, I expect a little bit more?
No, I think, I think we'll take it for sure, because we're still a work in progress with our hockey club and learning a bunch of different ways of how to play. So I always think, right around the 20 game mark, you have a better idea of what you got as a team. And, we're at 19 games right now, and for the most part, pretty happy with everything.
So let's take a look forwards as a group, defense as a group, goaltenders as a pair. You tell us what you think the strengths and weaknesses have been, things that you've been very pleased about, but things that also need improvement.
Well, the strength right through our hockey club is our offensive game. And our weakness is our inconsistent play without the puck, our defensive game, which, is a lot to do with structure. And we've changed some things on how we're playing, because we can play that way now. But to really get consistent and win, you have to play right from your goaltenders out. You got to play that 1-0 mentality. And, even in the game that we just played in that third period, I thought we didn't manage the game very well, and we got a little sloppy. And that kind of happens when you have a team that can score goals like we can right now. You get a little sloppy, and that's something that we have to clean up if we want to go on a real streak and be a real good hockey team.
Are you a little concerned that some of the guys might be thinking offensive stats and not paying enough attention behind their own blue line?
Well, you know what? Even on any team, everybody is worried about their offensive stats. Even when you don't have an offensive juggernaut or whatever, everyone is pretty concerned about stats. So that's nothing new. It's nice that we can go down that road. But like I said, to have real consistency, you have to be able to play away from the puck, and you have to do it as a team.
In some of the losses, you have been maybe not as even keel as you have been in the past. And what I mean by that, first half of the doubleheader against Vancouver, right off the bat, you said, we got what we deserved. You were not pleased with your tone, all of those things. Is that because this season your expectations are higher?
Yeah, our expectations are higher. And when you're doing the same things and losing the same way in a couple games, you have to change things. And, we're going out there and we're playing where, we lose 8-6 in Kelowna, and then we come back and we had spurts in the game where we're playing good, but we lost the same way. So you don't get very happy, and you have to clean things up.
One noticeable improvement with all the offense, and you're scoring over 4 goals per game and so on, but it has been the power play. And remember, at the very beginning, sort of when the power play was struggling a little bit, you didn't have Ethan Sampson, he was away. Now, you got that whole unit going there. It's clicking. It's in the top 5 in the WHL power play. And as of late, it's as good as any power play. What do you see there that has made such a difference?
Well, we had, when you go back to exhibition too, our power play was number 1 in exhibition, but the year before it was number 1 also. When you get into the regular season, there's a lot more coaching. There's a lot more... a lot better players that you're going up against. And we kind of had a little lull there. Like Boyko was playing the point in the power play and does a very good job. And we got too predictable. And that's when we kind of started going down a little bit. But, even saying that, you have to put it in perspective. And the power play was creating a lot of chances. You know, so when you're creating all those chances, you break it down. They weren't going in. Now, you change stuff on your power play all the time. Depends on which team you play. And these guys are really getting some chemistry. And when they throw a different way of killing, we have another option that we're going to, and we're really creating that way.
And your power play guys are 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in team scoring. Chase Wheatcroft has looked terrific. We're going to talk about your 20-year-olds. I want to start with Chase. He's been on a goal-scoring tear. I'm interested in the coach's perspective because, obviously, I only see the home games. I watch them very closely. I thought right away from the very first time you played at home against Tri-City, Wheatcroft is the guy with height and Zimmer. And then there was, you probably went, 8, 10 games with that. But you do go back and you make some changes, whether you throw McAdams out there. And I know he can play with those guys as well. You throw him Boyko there. You've looked at, even Dubinsky. You've just got him. But I look and I'm thinking, what is the reason for the change? Because Wheatcroft is always with them on the power play, and he seems to play so well with those two.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons. You look at depth. You look at creating... you look at creating some secondary scoring, we can even get deeper than that, and you look to balance out. And we got a lot better players this year, and we got more experience, even the young guys that played last year. So we're always looking for different areas and different types of chemistry within the lines. And, lots of times, especially at the start of the year, that line was scoring all the goals. And, when we go on the road or whatever, they just check that line. So you mix things up and give a different look for the other team. And, for the most part, it's been successful. And it's good for guys. You get stale playing with guys sometimes and moving guys around. I played Weedy at, center, and I played him at left wing, and I played him on different lines, and he's up to every challenge.
Right, and I guess that's still the staple. No matter over the course of the season, we know they're going to be back together. And when you really need a goal, you're going to have that unit out. But I guess, as you say, it's just a matter of trying to balance the scoring out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay, so, I don't know. I remember we talked, about getting that third 20-year-old, and you said, well, it could happen any day. And it's taken a while. But then all of a sudden... I mean, you could be accused of theft here. I mean, this Cole Dubinsky, obviously I've only seen him the one game. He's played three because I only see the home game. But he looked absolutely terrific. And you know what? He was going to be the first star until Height got the hat trick. And we just had to give Height the first star, and he deserved that in the last game, which was that 6-4 win over Vancouver. But Dubinsky was absolutely terrific. He had the highlight assist of the season. He had a great goal. He sparked energy. And I sort of think, I know you gave up Chance, a 17-year-old, and he may or may not turn out. You gave up a third-round pick, and I know Dubinsky's only going to play this season, then he's done. But do you feel guilty that you just stole him out of Regina?
No, not at all. He's a real good player. And Chance, he was a young player that we think that he, in time, he's going to be a real good player. And it was, you have to make certain moves. We're at in a situation now with our hockey club. Like last year, it was hard to, we really couldn't make very many moves. And it wasn't the time to make moves either. We needed to develop. And we're still in that process, too, of developing. But, I talked about Dubinsky last year. I had some interest in him. So you do all your research, and you keep watching, and you never know when a trade's going to happen. It takes two teams to agree on something. And, he was a player that I think our team needed. He brings a lot of energy. He really wants to win. He's a hard player to play against. And as you've seen, he's a lot better offensively than I think a lot of people give him credit for.
And I was puzzled. I mean, he only had two goals this season in Regina. He's got three in three games for you. And we talked to him between periods the other day, and he says, I've never been to the playoffs. I want to get to the playoffs. You can just see that sense of excitement, that urgency, what he wants to do to help out. Now, I know they had some extra 20-year-olds in Regina. Were you surprised they made him available?
You just never know what who becomes available. And like I said, when I seen that he was available, I made a quick call. That's for sure. Because I did look at him and I talked to John about him last year. But you just never know what other teams are doing. And I think that, timing was everything and we jumped on it and we're very happy to get him. He's going to bring a lot into the dressing room. Like just when you meet the kid for the first time, you can tell he's intense and, he's a real team player that'll do anything to win.
Nothing against your 20-year-olds last season. However, it's very noticeable to myself there's been a big upgrade in 20-year-old production from the Prince George Cougars. Now, you're going with three forwards. We haven't talked about Boyko yet, and I'll get you to talk about him as well. But overall, it is a significant upgrade, and if a team is going to do anything in the playoffs and be a successful team, it still has to be older players that come through. Yes, Height and Zimmer, they're part of your first line, and they're great players where they're at, but they need help. You need older players. You're getting that from your 20-year-old.
Yeah, they need it insulated, and especially when you get going and it gets really deep. The start of the year is one thing, and I say this all the time, and we all say this all the time, and then after the deadline and you get down to the playoff stretch, teams are, falling in and out of the playoffs. What are they going to do? But teams get a lot better. You're in the playoffs, and, all three of these guys have played very well. Boyko started off a little slow, but you can see that he's picking up. He's just kind of finding his way, and he hasn't played the offensive role as Wheatcroft has, but he's playing, he's playing a little bit of a different role, some secondary power play and killing some penalties and taking some face-offs. And I think that's one area where we're really lacking is winning face-offs and playing with the puck off the start. And we really don't have the, that's what Connor Bowie was so good at last year. He took a ton of face-offs for us and on that right side. And we really don't have a right-handed guy to, especially on the penalty kill, to take the face-offs there. But Boyko's come along. He's getting, the last few games have been very happy with him.
We're still a long way away from the January 10th trade deadline, but it looks like you've got the mindset you want to be a buyer, where in the past Cougars have been sellers. Where are you at in terms of, upgrading this team? You know what you have, but you also know what you need. And I know you would say, hey, if you have to go the rest of the season with these guys, you'd be happy. But I would imagine you're also going to be looking to upgrade.
Yeah, we're always looking right now. Like I said, we're at the stage in our development and where we are with our hockey club that I'm looking all the time. I'm talking all the time, and I think there's a couple areas where we can improve, and it's and not just internally, but bringing players that coming in to help in those areas, and we're wide open for that.
And as you take a look and get ready, you got to Victoria, and the thing is that you got a lot of your wins last season early on against Victoria. You have not seen them yet, and I imagine the big caution for you is making sure your team is not overconfident. Victoria's only won 3 of 20 on paper. You have what I would think is a better talented team. You think you're going to the island to get 2 wins. It may not be as easy as one would think. Are these the things as a coach, as you are getting into another phase, you have to make sure the guys are realizing, don't worry about Victoria only having 3 wins in 20 games?
Well, if we do that, shame on us. It doesn't matter who you play. Any team can beat you on any given night. Lots of things happen in the game, and if you don't go in there and you're not serious and you don't follow the game plan and play the right way, you'll get popped. And they got some pieces. They've had some injuries. There's some reasons why. They haven't put together some wins. They've had some significant injuries in their lineup, and And we all know they have a goalie that can win it by themselves. So if you take any team lately, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you could be in big trouble.
You're listening to CAT Scans, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Lamb is the coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. I want to talk about your top two guys that are going to go high in the NHL draft. So if, let's just say, for example, we're middle to late of the first round, and both Height and Zimmer are still available, and if an NHL scout or somebody from a team was to come to you and say, hey, give me the, I'm not going to put you into an unfair situation and say, who would you pick between the two? That's not a fair question to ask. But what I do want to ask, if somebody is looking to pick one of those two guys, you know, in the first round at some point or high second, but probably the first, and they say, I want a full scouting report on Height, who, by the way, is the WHL Player of the Week, and Zimmer, who, by the way, is number two in scoring, only behind Connor Bedard. And I want the pros and the cons of Height and Zimmer. How would you give that scouting report?
Well, I've given it so many times already this year. That's the thing, and it's pretty easy to give a scouting report on two really good players and two really different players. You know, Height is he's a pass first guy, you know, that very smart and really thinks the game offensively. And then you got Zimmer, who's a little bit, you know, all the real high end drafts that everybody's talking about this year is, and it's a really good draft class, is, you know, these 05s are probably a little bit smaller than usual, but really, really highly skilled, and Height's right in that, you know, right up there in that area. And then when you look at Zimmer, I look at him as a different type of player than all these guys. Like, he can really shoot. He's a goal scorer that he shoots to score. But other than that, his physicality, like, he can go down that road. He can really hit. And, you know, at times he fights, and he's really tough. So they're two different players. You know, I've said that to a lot of scouts already, and they put a lot of work into it. And it's just, what type of player do you need in your organization? What are you lacking? And I have those two guys really, really high in all aspects of the game. You know, I love coaching those guys. They got a lot of passion for the game, and they're improving all the time.
Do you want Zimmer, or for that matter, Height, to fight? Because some coaches don't want their high-end skilled guys to get involved in that for fear of injury.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't want them fighting at all. But they're intense kids, and they play the game the right way. And, you know, sometimes that does happen, especially for a kid like Zimmer. He's he goes out there, he really throws his weight around, and he hits, and he gets in people's faces a little more. So when you're that type of player, sometimes that happens.
Now, obviously, you know, I'm not around the team. I just go to the games, do color commentary, just see the home games, all of those kinds of things. Now, so that's like a season ticket holder that comes to the games, and we form our opinions. From what I see, and this is just from the outside, not with inside the team, so I'm not in the dressing room or anything like that. Obviously, Ethan Sampson was the obvious choice for captain this season. If he is back next year, and there's a big if because he could be playing pro, but if he's back, then obviously he's going to wear the C. But at some point, Ethan Sampson will not be on this team, and when that day comes, from what I see, Riley Height would be your next captain. Am I looking the way you would look at this?
Well, you know, everybody evolves, and Sampson, the way he's played, like, man, oh man, he's played so great. I do not expect him being back, but, you know, the leadership group that we do have, I think they're doing a real good job. They're really learning, how to lead. And, you know, when the guys picked the captains, you know, they picked Riley Height as a young guy. So, you know, he probably does have the inside track on that.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. I want to ask this is sort of an interesting question, in that, is this more of the year for the Cougars than next year? Now, you're going to say, hey, next year we're getting a lot of guys back, and Height and Zimmer are even going to be better. But, you know, you've got some high-end 20-year-olds you're going to lose. I don't know what's going to happen with Tyler Brennan as a 20-year-old goaltender. And I'm going to get into the goaltending situation in a moment. But is it more about this year for the Cougars, or is it still more about next year?
No, it's day by day. You know, that's how we're treating it. It's about this year right now. You know, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself. You just get in trouble. The deals that we're making are deals for now and the future, except, you know, for the 20-year-old spot. It's a person that we think can really help build some of our young guys and what type of players that you have to be to have success. And, you know, so when we bring a guy in like that, it's for a reason. And it's for a reason with the personality, and plus he's a very, very good player, so our guys can see this. But for, you know, the deals that, you know, if we make more, I hope we do, but you need another partner, it'll be for this year and the future.
All right, let's take a look at the goaltending situation. And I remember last year at this time, we were talking about the fact that, you know, you had two starters. You had Gauthier, you had Brennan. You were very open that there was a very good chance that Gauthier would be traded. But we knew that that was his last year in the WHL. This year, the situation's a little bit different but similar in that you have two NHL-drafted goaltenders in Brennan and Young, and they've been on a rotation basis. And I would think, and I think you would think if you were in their shoes, they should be playing more than every other game. Well, that can't happen if they're on the same team, which brings up the question, is there what kind of a possibility is that you do move one of them before the trade deadline?
Well, I don't know, and I don't think, you know, with our, I think it's really, really nice to have those two guys right now. We're kind of the envy of some teams, but, you know, we don't know what the future holds with our goaltending. We've got, there's some World Junior stuff coming up. You know, Brennan's name is being thrown around there also, and, you know, if that does happen, even Young's name's been thrown around there too. So we're pretty happy about that. So you got to be careful of doing anything, you know, at that time, that's for sure. But you need a partner. You need a partner. It was very hard to trade Gauthier last year. There wasn't a, you know, big market for a goaltender like that. I'm sure any team in the league would take either one of our guys, but they do have goaltenders also. So this is just, it's going day by day. It's nice with our travel and stuff like that, but you can play a guy and then you're playing the next day and you have just as much confidence as one guy as you do the other.
And I do have to ask though, has either, and look, I understand they're great friends, they get along, they're really good team guys, but has either of them in whatever fashion stated, boy, I'd like to play more, or do they just go about their business as they're told?
Well, I think you can even go deeper than that. I think you can go through the whole team, and you ask anybody on our team that question, they would say, I'd like to play more.
Right. Yeah. So what you have been doing is rotating the two. Is that the plan going forward, at least in the immediate future?
Well, like I said, it's going to depend on wins and losses and stuff, but there hasn't been really a situation where we had to go away from that rotation yet. Certainly, it'll happen at some point. For you don't even know the circumstance. It could be an injury. It could be one guy's just playing a little bit better. It could be team where you play really good against a certain team, and that's certainly. You know, goalies have teams that they play really well against. So we'll start looking into all those different little areas and how they're playing against different teams and stuff like that that could change the rotation.
Brennan and Young's numbers maybe aren't quite maybe what they were hoping for in terms of goals against average, 3.49, 3.80, Brennan followed by Young, and save percentage 883, Brennan 905 for Young. How would you assess overall the goaltending performance. It's been good on some nights. You talked about the fact that the team has had some inconsistencies, and I imagine they would be included with the rest of the group.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the inconsistencies and on, playing away from the puck. I think we've been, we put some different areas in. Our D are a lot more active. We stress the offensive play. We have been stressing the offensive play from the start of the year because we know we have those type of players. And now to really, get on a winning streak and get better as a team, we have to really tighten up defensively, and it starts with our goaltending.
You know, when we think of the Cougars, we think of their top guys. We've talked about them throughout the Cat Scan podcast, but I want you to talk about one or two guys that you feel do not get enough recognition, that do small things that may not show up in the stats, but that have been really big contributors to the early success the Cougars have had this season.
Well, one guy is very, very easy to, and that's O'Brien. He's our Swiss Army knife. You know, he goes and plays any position. He kills penalties. He blocks shots. He never says, doesn't care who he plays with. He goes out there and just does his job. So I think he's one guy that, he really sticks out in that area. The other guys, there's some new guys like Becker, our import player. There's some inconsistencies there, which is very expected, but the high-end talent and skating that he has is something that surprised me.
It hasn't taken very long in the WHL to sort out who's going to be really good and who isn't. Obviously, Seattle, Portland, Kamloops. Then there's a little bit, Everett, I don't know if I'd put them quite in that category, but that seems to be the elite of the Western Conference. And then, of course, there's yourself. 10-9, everything. And then, there is a drop as we get to the bottom when you're looking at Spokane and Victoria and everything like that. How do you sort of see where Prince George fits in, and how do you sort of see, now that you've had enough of a gauge, where the Western Conference is at?
Well, I think you're pretty bang on there. I think Everett is still a real top team also after seeing them play, and you look at the players. And the thing with those organizations, what we're talking about, is that's where we want to get to. They have a winning pedigree, and it's all about winning, and we're just learning that. And it's hard. It's really hard to just keep going like that. But I think we're taking steps in learning how to win. And learning how to win is you have to go through a lot of different things, and this team has went through a lot of different things, especially last year being so young and matchups and so forth. But those teams are, we haven't really seen what's on the other side yet, but we've seen Winnipeg and we've seen Brandon, and you look at Winnipeg and how we played against them, I thought we were right there with them and we could compete with a team like that. So I think we're taking really, really good steps in learning how to win.
The team is 6-3 on the road, including a 3-game road win streak, yet you're 4-6 at home. How do you sort of explain that? Are the guys looser? Are they more relaxed away? How do you explain that?
I don't know. I don't think anybody could explain it. Sometimes you play a simpler game on the road. And you look, even our special teams are way up on the road, and it's kind of hard. You're doing the same thing. So to really put your finger on it, I don't have an answer to that. But it's all on. We've won a couple of games on the road where we've had to come back in games, and it's kind of worked for us. And at the home, at the start of the year, we lost a couple of games that we should have won. We really outchanced teams, and we didn't win. So, like I said, you put it all in perspective. You break down the game, and there's a couple of games that we should, I thought we could have won by big margins and lost.
You're doing some small things right that add up. In other words, previous years, you weren't winning a lot of shootouts. You weren't winning a lot of overtimes. And now, so far, you haven't lost in either.
Yeah, that's progression. And there's a lot of different areas, you know, and those are huge points. And yeah, we didn't. So I think that's just another way that we progressed, and we want to keep doing that. And, you know, we've done it in that area, and now we need to do it in other areas.
This past weekend, you had 4,400 Saturday, you had 4,800 on Sunday. I know the Saturday game, you know, wasn't your best home performance. Obviously, you had a terrific first period on Sunday with five goals and on you went. But what about the difference at CN Center? You're behind the bench. Do you notice when there's that many people? Tell us what it does for the hockey team when there's that many people in support of you.
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's a really feeling of team, that the people in the community are happy for the team. You know, that's how I take it. You know, I hear the players talking and you know, in front of me, and you know, especially early in the game, and you know, it was loud in there and stuff like that. But that's hockey atmosphere, and it gets you. I tell you what, the home crowd can help a lot.
I'll let you go. I know you've got a very busy schedule, everything like that. Is there anything that I haven't touched upon? Is there something that you would like to mention from a coaching staff as we look forward? And, you know, only 19 games in, still lots to play, you know, some 49 to go. So the majority of the season is there. Is there anything you would like to add at this time, Mark?
Well, there's a lot of – we're really happy with a lot of things that are going on. And, you know, something that hasn't been out yet is Jim Playfair is helping part-time, helping us out also. So he comes in for practice and helps out with our team play and everything. And it's been a real joy having around, all that experience, you know, with our younger coaches, with Rigby and Josh Dixon, and picking his brain. I think he's really helped our organization.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard. How long has Jim been helping you? Of course, he's got some great coaching credentials. Are you looking to add him to the staff, or what's sort of the situation there?
Well, that's what it is. It's just he's from this area, so he's been out on the ice with us. He's been the eye in the sky for a few games, and it's, like I said, it's just part time. We're just kind of figuring out a way, but he's you know, when he's been around, it's been excellent. That experience really helps me out. You can you know, pick his brain about certain areas on your team, and the kids, they really enjoy it.
Well, his hometown of Fort St. James are all gonna have to come to all the games now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's and it worked out, you know, and it keeps him involved for his next coaching job, because you know, he wants to get back there.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and we will have you on a further a CAT scan, and, of course, we'll continue to hear from you throughout the games. Appreciate your time. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Harley.
You bet. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, and you've been listening to CAT scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.